We have started a new series called God is Able. And the first sermon in the series that we have completed is titled, God is Able to Save. God is Able to Save. The next slide. Shall we all read this verse? If you haven't heard this sermon, you can go online and listen to it on zion-church.org to be able to know what it means, to be able to understand that God is able to save. Shall we all read this verse from Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25? Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. We have a God who is able to save. That is the first and foremost thing in our lives. If not for that, nothing else matters. He is able to save us to the uttermost, to the extent of forever, he is able to save us through Jesus Christ. And that was a salvation sermon that if you want to listen to it, you can listen to it again. But let's go to the next one for today. The next second sermon in this series, shall we all read from Daniel chapter 3 and verse 17? Shall we all read this together as it is projected? Shall we all read this and try to fill in the blanks that we have in our sermon notes as well? If you need the sermon notes or the paper or a pencil or pen, you can ask the brothers who are behind. They can pass it on to you. Shall we read this and also fill in the blanks? If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O King. Daniel 3:17. Did you read this? Did you all read it? Shall we all read this once again, please? If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O King. So fill in the blanks, please. Whom we serve is able to deliver us. And again, towards the end, it says, he will deliver us out of your hand, O King. Shall we read this in another language, in Telugu language? Sevinchuchunna devuni manduchunna vedimi gala ee agni gundamlo nundi mammunu tappinchi rakshinchutaku samardhudu. మరియు నీ వశమున పడకుండా ఆయన మమ్మును రక్షించును. షాల్ వి రీడ్ ఇన్ అనదర్ లాంగ్వేజ్ విచ్ ఈస్ ద ఉర్దూ లాంగ్వేజ్. సమ్ ఆఫ్ అస్ ప్రాబబ్లీ కెన్ రీడ్ ద టెక్స్ట్ ఆన్ ద టాప్ అండ్ సమ్ ఆఫ్ అస్ కెన్ రీడ్ ఓన్లీ ద బాటమ్ ఆఫ్ ద టెక్స్ట్. సో షాల్ వి రీడ్ విచ్ ఎవర్ పోర్షన్ దట్ యూ కెన్ రీడ్ ఇన్ ద లాంగ్వేజ్. దిస్ ఈస్ ఉర్దూ లాంగ్వేజ్. షాల్ వి రీడ్ దిస్ ఉర్దూ? బై ద వే, ఇట్ ఈస్ ఫ్రమ్ రైట్ టు లెఫ్ట్, ఇఫ్ యూ డిడ్ నాట్ నో దాట్. బట్ ద ఇంగ్లీష్ పార్ట్ ఈస్ రిటన్ లెఫ్ట్ టు రైట్. సో షాల్ వి రీడ్ దిస్ టుగెదర్? देख हमारा खुदा जिसकी हम इबादत करते हैं, हमको आग की जलती हुई भट्टी से चुराने के कुदरत रखता है, और ये बादशाह वही हमको तेरे हाथ से छुड़ाएगा. What a wonderful God we have. He is the one who can deliver us. चुराने के लिए की कुदरत है. So Daniel chapter 3 is what we are going to meditate upon. A wonderful story. Probably if you have been to Sunday schools, you wouldn't have missed this story in the Sunday school. This is a story that is being talked about, and for all ages, it has been a very wonderful story to be able to know. But sometimes we might miss on the details. We may know the overall picture. Yeah, this is what has happened. Good. But sometimes the treasure is in the details. And we would love to be able to study God's word through a well-known story that would enable us to understand better. So let's pick it up from Daniel chapter 3 and verse 1. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 1. Here, it talks about a king by name Nebuchadnezzar. The king made an image of gold, the height of which was 60 cubits, or in other words, 90 feet. Around 10-story building height, and its width 6 cubits, that is 9 feet wide. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. just to give a quick background of the context of this particular chapter, the children of Israel were a united kingdom till the time of King David and King Solomon. After that, it got divided into Kingdom of Israel on the north and Kingdom of Judah on the south. Kingdom of Judah had two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, and the remaining 10 tribes were part of the Kingdom of Israel. There was a point of time when these kings were ruling each of these kingdom of Israel and Judah, that they were rebelling against God, and God had to teach them a lesson by allowing them to be taken into captivity. First, the kingdom of Israel was taken into captivity by Assyrians. And later, after a few years, the kingdom of Judah was taken into captivity by Babylon. And that is where the people of the Jewish people from the land of Judah were taken into captivity to the city of Babylon and the surrounding places. There is a place called Dura in the province of Babylon. During that time, there were some young people who were brought into captivity as well. Their names are mentioned in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 7. And their new names are also mentioned here. Verse 6 and 7. Daniel chapter 1 verses 6 and 7. Notice this carefully, my dear. As we get into this story, may the Lord enable us to learn some important spiritual lessons that we can apply in our daily lives. Now, among them from the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. What a wonderful names these are. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Daniel means God judges. Hananiah means God has shown favor. Hanan or Anna means favor. Hananiah means Yehovah is showing favor. Mishael means who is this God? And Azariah means, Azar means help. And Yehovah, Azariah means Jehovah helps. Daniel means God judges. Hananiah means the Lord shows favor. Mishael means who is like this God? And Azariah means the Lord helps. Wonderful names that their parents must have given. And they were brought into captivity as young people into the land of Babylon. But what happened in verse 7? Then the commander of the officials assigned new names to them. And to Daniel, he assigned the name Belteshazzar. And to Hananiah, Shadrach. And Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. New names were given to them when they had come to the land of Babylon. Primarily, these names are related to their gods, Babylonian gods. But let me tell you, though these names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, are more famous than Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, I would prefer those three names because they are the names that are related to the Jehovah God, Elohim God. But somehow these names were changed and they became popular as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were standing for the Lord in chapter 1. They did not defile themselves in chapter 1 so that they may be able to follow the commands of God, the Lord God. And now, what happened was that they were put in to certain positions. And their positions that they were given were high positions. Verse 19 of chapter 1. It says that the king talked with them, and out of them all, no one was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered into the king's personal servants. They got into the king's personal service, or they got into the royal jobs. They got some royal jobs. Now, something has happened. We are going to jump to chapter 3. In this chapter 3, we notice that Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold. An image of gold. Why do you think Nebuchadnezzar made the image of gold? Just to give you a background. In chapter 2, there was a dream that King Nebuchadnezzar got. And in that dream, in chapter 2 and verse 32, it says, the head of that statue was made of fine gold. Its breast and its arms were silver. Its belly and its thighs of bronze. Its legs of iron. Its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. So there was a big statue that he saw in his dream. And in that statue, it was made up of multiple kinds of metals and items. The top part was gold, and then silver, then bronze, then iron and clay. That was the way in which he saw a dream. And Daniel had to interpret the dream, saying, the gold is Babylon. And then there are other kings that are going to come after him, which is the Medo, Persian, Greece, and Rome. So for each of them, there are different metals were given. Gold, silver, bronze, iron, and clay. So Daniel said that right now you are gold, but you're not going to last forever. But after you will come silver, who's going to take over your kingdom. And after them, bronze will come. That is Medo-Persians and Greeks. And then Romans are going to take up your kingdom. Is what Daniel interpreted the dream and made him understand. But you know what Nebuchadnezzar did? What was the top one? Gold. He made sure that the entire statue was made up of gold because he did not want anyone else to rule his kingdom. No one else should be able to take it. So I'm going to make a statue entirely with gold. What? You got a dream that it is gold, silver, bronze, iron, and clay? No way. I'm going to build a statue entirely of gold because gold represents Babylon. See how much he wanted to ensure that in spite of the fact that a man of God gave the interpretation of the dream that this is what is going to happen as a prophecy, he wanted to change the future. Many times, out of selfish nature, we tend to do the things that we want to do than what God has intended the future to happen. Nebuchadnezzar wanted to change the will of God. He wanted to build the entire statue with gold. And what happened? He successfully created it. He went ahead and called everyone, the entire kingdom that he has. In the next slide, it shows the Babylonian Empire during the time 606 to 536. The entire red color here in this map is the Babylonian Empire. And if you see in white text, Israel, Jordan, Syria, Iraq, they are the current names of that old place that are existing. The Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq, these are the new names. If you see the Babylonian Empire, the whole of this red area was covered and Nebuchadnezzar was ruling this empire. And if you see here, Israel, from Israel all the way to Babylon, the yellow color text here, the Babylon. So they were sent into captivity from Israel all the way to Babylon. So that is how they went into the Babylon. And now he had people of all these nations that he has control over his kingdom. All these nations speak in different languages. And he had control over them and he wanted to dedicate that particular image or statue. And that is when he brings in people from all the places. And that is what we see. We'll quickly rush into the next few verses of Daniel chapter 3. In Daniel chapter 3, he assembles various people and verse 2. And he dedicates the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And verse 3, everyone they came and stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Notice the small phrase, Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. End of verse 2. End of verse 3, the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. It was showing forth his glory. He was showing forth his pride of being able to build a 90-foot statue. Nowadays, in other countries where we have come from, other places, they want to build huge statues. I don't know if you have heard about it. They are trying to build huge, huge statues in order to be able to get fame. And here, Nebuchadnezzar did that. Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Notice this. If you keep underlining that small statement, Nebuchadnezzar had set up, it keeps repeating quite a bit. And in verse 4, there was a big proclamation that the herald or the news that was sent out saying that all people, all nations or every language, at the moment you hear the sound of music here, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Notice, end of verse 2, end of verse 3, end of verse 5, an image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. It's all his glory that is being displayed here. In verse 6, whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately, at the same hour, be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. And then in verse 7, again it repeats the same thing, and towards the end it says, the image the Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Now the story begins in verse 8. There were some people who did not like these Jews to take up royal positions. There's always jealousy when somebody tries to get into some position, and especially coming from a distant land, from the land of Judah, and coming to the land of Babylon and taking over the royal jobs, these people were jealous. We will go through jealousy in our lives when God puts us into positions that we need to stand for Him. Whether it is secular jobs or not, even if it isn't a secular job, God can be glorified through your life and my life. There will be times when people won't like the jobs that we are taking up. Here, the Jewish people, these three young men, took over the jobs. And this challenge, they came forward and brought charges against the Jews. What did they say? They said, now that the image is made up of gold, that means his kingdom is going to be forever. Nobody is going to take over. So what did they say in verse 9? O king, live forever. Live forever. Because it is entire statue is made of gold. Who will take over our kingdom now? Forever. But he didn't last forever, by the way, just to let you know. And now we notice, and they tell that, listen, you have done all this. In verse 12, there are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the administration of the province of Babylon. So they are taking over the administration of the province of Babylon. And they mentioned their new names, Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men have disregarded you. These men have disregarded. Somebody please read verse 12 in any other language. They disregarded you. They disobeyed you. Yeah. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up. Again, repetition. Notice the small term. Nebuchadnezzar, the image that Nebuchadnezzar has set up. So much so that every time they want to be in good eyes in front of Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, live forever. This image that you have set up. See these folks? There are some folks who are working in your royalty. They are working as administrators in your province. They are not serving your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up. What happened in verse 13? Now the story goes through a twist. That Nebuchadnezzar was furious. He was angry. And he gave orders to bring them over, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These three men were brought before the king. And now Nebuchadnezzar just didn't listen to these people who were jealous, but he wanted to hear from the mouth of these people. That was a good point in a way. Rather than listening second-hand message, he wanted to hear first-hand from these young men. So he asked the same question. Is it true? Verse 14. He says, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image I have set up? Notice the pride in the life of Nebuchadnezzar. I have set up it is mine. Who are you that you are not serving or bowing down? Worship here. The word worship is talking about falling down, prostrate. That is a physical way. When you praise, you use words. When you worship, you use your attitude. Remember that. That is the difference between praise and worship. We tend to combine both of them. But worship is the attitude with which you come down. The attitude also is important. And then praise is you use words in order to be able to show forth your worshiping attitude. That is why we combine both of them and call it praise and worship. We need to humble ourselves. That is attitude of worship. We need to bow down. That is attitude of worship. We need to praise Him with our mouth. That comes from our hearts. That is praise. Okay, let's move on. Now, Verse 5. The moment you hear the sound, you need to do that. Are you not doing it? Don't you know that if you do not worship, in verse 15, you will immediately, at the same hour, be cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. Now notice another phrase. So far we were noticing a phrase, Nebuchadnezzar. He set up that image that is continuously being repeated. Now let us notice another small phrase that is constantly repeated from now on, which is into the midst of fire. Cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. The first thing that we need to notice here is, if you do not worship, you will be cast into the furnace. So he was giving dhamki. You know what dhamki is? They tend to try to tell you, oh, if you don't do it, you'll be pushed into the fire. Now the king is directly telling these people. Now, the first thing that we want to start noting down in our sermon notes is that the first thing, the faith, the first part, if you can write down, the faith part we will notice about these young men. Their faith is being tested. All this while, they grew up, they were born in the land of Judah. Probably they were learning the important principles from their parents. Who is God? Who is this Yahweh? Who is this Elohim? Why were their names named as Mishael, Ohim, Mishael, Azariah? Yeah, that kind of names that were given to them, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Probably they have heard about the way God brought them out of the land of Egypt, how he delivered them out of the hand of Egypt. Now their faith is being tested in a land that is not their land. Maybe you were brought up in your childhood, very strong base in terms of going to Sunday schools, etc. in your childhood. But you were brought to this country. When you have come to this country, our faith is tested much more, because we are left alone. We are far away from our family. We are far away from the things of the way in which we are used to be part of. Now our faith is being tested. So they answered, notice this very carefully, verse 16. They answered, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. We don't need to give you an answer concerning this matter. Why? Because we know what we are doing. They were confident in their faith. They were so confident in their faith that they were able to stand in front of the king and addressing him as, O Nebuchadnezzar. They'll also say, O king, later. But they started with the name, O Nebuchadnezzar. We don't need to be afraid to give you an answer in this matter. Their faith is getting stronger and stronger when they stood in front of the king, the royal. Verse 17. We can fill in the blanks now. If it be so, let us go to the next slide. If it be so, if it be so, in verse 17, God, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of the blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. Very important statement here. If it be so, if it be so, this is what is going to happen. God, our God, whom we serve. We won't serve your gods, but our God, whom we serve. Please read in any other language, verse 17. So verse 17, that's all. Thank you. God whom we serve is able to deliver us. That is the faith that they had. If it be so, if this is what is going to happen, that we do not bow down to your image, we do not worship your image, if it be so, God is able to deliver us. God is able to deliver us. That is the faith that is shown in terms of their words that they had spoken. Their faith is being tested. And they were confident in being able to tell if it be so, if it be so. That they were able to tell that God is able to deliver. That is the title of the sermon. God whom we serve is able to deliver. As I was mentioning earlier as well, being able doesn't mean that he will do it. He can do it, he is able to do it, but he will do it in accordance to his sovereign will. This is something that you and I need to be able to understand, the important principle. As I was giving the example of a bank is able to give you a loan. But will the bank give you the loan? Apply for it. Apply for the loan. Until you apply for the loan, the bank will not give you the loan. It's able to give you the loan. That doesn't mean that everyone is getting the loan. You see that? Jesus Christ has come into this world to die for us on the cross of Calvary. He is able to save, but you need to come to him. That is what we learned in the previous sermon. God is able to save. You need to come to him. Then he is going to save you. Just because he died for us on the cross of Calvary doesn't mean that you will be saved. Similarly, just because he's able to deliver doesn't mean that you will be delivered at this time. But if it be so, God is able to deliver. The faith that they had is on the ability of God. Just because he's not doing doesn't mean that God is not able, remember. He is powerful to do. And that is what we notice here. Their faith is being shown forth in verse 17. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of the blazing fire. He will deliver us out of the hand of your hand, O King. He is able to deliver us from the fire, but he will deliver us from your hand. You see the difference between able to deliver from the fire and will deliver from your hand. Irrespective, he is going to deliver us from your hand. We are not going to serve you, but he will deliver us from your hand, no matter what. He is able to deliver us from the fire, but he will deliver us from your hand. From your control, he is able to deliver us. That is the first thing. The next thing that we want to notice here is verse 18. One of us, could you please read verse 18? Let's note it down, write down in our sermon notes. But if not, first, verse 17, if it be so. Secondly, but if not. Our faith is being shown forth through these two verses, my dear. When we go through tests and trials in our life, our faith is being tested if we are able to speak these two verses in our lives. If it be so, but if not. If it be so, God whom we serve is able to deliver. If not, but if not. If you have a King James Version or English Standard Version, it uses that small phrase, but if not. Let it be known to you. Let it be known. We want to make it very clear. But if not, meaning, if God is not going to deliver us at this moment, not that he's not able, but at this moment of time, according to his sovereign will, if he lets us go through the fire, we want to tell you that we are not going to serve your gods. Even if his God's not going to deliver us, even if we have to die in the fire, we are not going to serve your gods or worship the image that you have set up. Notice that small phrase again, that you have set up. Oh, you're thinking that you have set it up? You want to have the pride? You want us to worship, bow down to the image that you have set up? The Bible says in Exodus chapter 20 that you should not worship any other image. You shall not have any other image other than the God himself, because all other images are the so-called gods. They are not real. So that is what he says here. we will not serve you. We are not going to serve your gods. But if not. In a moving tribute of the 400th anniversary of the King James Version Bible, a local newspaper in Nebraska, referring to an incident from World War II, they make this article. In the spring of 1940, during World War II, maybe some of us were alive. In the spring of 1940, the German army was plowing through France despite the help from more than 300,000 British troops. The Germans are trying to attack France, and France and British were in coalition. Now the Germans, under the leadership of Hitler, they were trying to attack the France. And now, finally, the Germans surrounded and trapped most of the Allied forces at Dunkirk. There are movies that were made out of this particular story as well. A town in northern France. It appeared that the Allied army would face annihilation or surrender. The British and the French, it appeared that they're going to succumb to the Germans. Eventually, through a miraculous outpouring of courage, the British managed to organize an amazing number of people, little ships that evacuated most of the Allied forces. They came through the English Channel. They were brought out through that English Channel. Many civilians helped in being able to bring them out. They were cleared out. Before the evacuation, at one point, when everything looked utterly hopeless, allegedly a British officer sent the following message, condensed into three powerful words. Only three words that he used, that British officer. And those three words are, "But if not." These are the three words. "But if not." At the time, it was a strong message of courage and of ultimate hope in the midst of trouble. The message conveyed that the British would stand defiantly against the Nazis and that God would provide a way through the dark night. But if not, they knew where these three words have come from. They knew that these three words have come from Daniel chapter 3 and verse 18. That their God is able to deliver. Even otherwise, we are not going to serve the enemies. We are not going to, but with that courage, they were so much encouraged that they were able to move forward in their lives. My dear, this is what we can learn about our faith. Two things. Daniel chapter 3 verse 17 and verse 18. If it be so, but if not. That doesn't mean that you don't have faith. A lot of people, sometimes preachers themselves, they say, "Oh, don't say that God cannot do that." Yes, God is able to do that. When it comes to healing, when it comes to certain things in your life, they'll say, "Don't say God if God wills." Many people nowadays, I'm hearing preachers saying that. Don't say if it is under your will. God wants, God wills that everyone has to heal. So you will be healed. I've seen in my own family, many people, so-called preachers, they have mentioned that. Did it happen? It did not. Does it mean that we do not have faith? We do have faith, my dear. Our faith is tested through these two verses. Our God is able. My God is able to give me a job. My God is able to take care of my family situation. But if not, I'm not going to leave my God. I'm not going to leave my God. I'm not going to serve the other gods. I'm not going to leave my God. We are going to serve our God only. My dear, I want to encourage each one of us. Maybe you're going through tough times in your life. Maybe you had a prayer that was unanswered in your life. But remember, we have a God who is a God who is able to deliver. That doesn't mean that we have lost the battle. God is able to deliver, my dear. I want to encourage each one of you sitting here. Maybe you're going through some trials in your life that you are not able to see God working in your life. Have that faith in God. Be strong in the faith by saying, "If it be so, but if not." Our faith is being tested, my dear, when we go through tough times in our lives. And I want to encourage each one of us. Now, secondly, that we see is fire. The next slide. Fire. Note it down. First is faith. The other is fire. The two things that we're going to learn about fire here. Now they are pushed into fire in verse 19. Nebuchadnezzar became very angry. And when he became angry, his facial expression got changed. Because he was so proud. How could somebody disobey my commandment? How could somebody do this, that they are not bowing down to the big image that I have created? He felt that his image is being altered in front of everyone. So he became very, very angry. Learn, my dear, this anger causes many things in our lives that we tend to do emotional things. Let us be cautious of our anger. Nebuchadnezzar was very angry. And you know what he did? You know what he did? He ordered to heat the furnace 7 times more than it usually heated. There was a fire, but he said, these people, they are saying this in verse 17 and 18. How could they? How dare they say that? I want you to increase the heat 7 times more than the regular heat. He was so angry. So what did he do? Verse 20, he commanded certain valiant warriors who were in his army. He said, my strong men, mighty men, I want you to come. The fire is hot 7 times. And my people, who are the strongest people, see, this is all emotional. Because of the anger he had many times, my dear, in our own lives, anger causes many things that we do that we sometimes don't know what we are doing as well. Whether in words or actions, Nebuchadnezzar was a very emotional man. He brought in the strongest men and he told them to tie these 3 young people. He said, you tie them so strong that they cannot be released. Tie them so strong. And you know what they did in verse 21? These men tied up their trousers, their coats, their caps and other clothes. They were wearing all of that. With all their full clothing, caps and gowns and everything, trousers, they were tied up. They were tied up so much that they were cast into the midst of the furnace of the blazing fire. I told you, you can notice this small phrase, midst of the burning fire, midst of fire. They were cast, they were thrown into the midst of the fire. Fire is the second thing. When our faith is tested, we need to go through fire. Fire is a way in which our faith is tested, my dear. That is the only way we can come out clear of impurities in our lives. Fire is the only way. Fire meaning trials, tribulations. In this particular case, it was a physical fire. They were thrown into the fire. And you know, verse 22, somebody, could you please read? Because the king's command was urgent. Furnace was made extremely hot, yes. So what we notice is the power of fire, note it down in the sermon notes. Power of fire. The fire was so powerful, my dear. Did you know that? Probably those of us who are into cooking and all that, you know how powerful fire is. Fire is powerful, my dear. It is so powerful that those who took them were killed by the flames. They were slewed by the flames. These valiant, powerful men that Nebuchadnezzar had, he trained them up so much. But out of his anger, you know what he did? He asked those people to come and tie these people. And you know the result of his anger? That these valiant men, mighty men, who were holding, tying up and pushing them into the furnace, they died. That's the result of anger. That's the result of emotions. And you know what he did? It turned back against him. His own people, the so-called strong people, they died in the fire. Did you notice this story? Probably you know this story. But just a reminder for us. But those who were pushed into the fire, they went into the fire. But those who were pushing them, they died because of the flames. How is it possible? There is a power of fire. The power of fire took them, those who took them, or threw them actually, I think we can note it down. Those who threw them were killed by the flames, or took them also, that's fine. That's what we notice in verse 22. Those who took them or carried them, they died. The first people who died, the ones who were supposed to die, were these 3 young men. But before these 3 young men, the ones who pushed them died. Remember, God is able to destroy the evil one. The one who is trying to push us forth is killed. God is able to do that. And now we notice here in verse 23, but these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell into the midst of the fire, the furnace. That is something that you can notice down. These three people fell into the fire. The valiant men died before itself. These three men fell into the fire. The first thing is power of fire. The next one that you want to notice is power of fourth. Power of four. The power of fire. The power of four. What is this four? We will see that. What happened? Verse 24. Nebuchadnezzar was astounded and stood up in haste. He said to his officials, was it not three men we cast bound into the midst of fire? Midst of the fire. They were thrown bound. Notice this three small statements that I have put forth. They were thrown bound. Now he's saying, verse 25. Man, I tell you, the story is really taking its twists. Nebuchadnezzar says, look, I see four. There is fire, but he's seeing four. What is this four? I see four. And he says, I see four men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire. Midst of the fire. Notice the small statement. In the midst of the fire, they were unbound. They were not unbound out after they came out of the fire. In the midst of the fire, they were unbound, my dear. When we are going through the fiery experience, God is ready to unbound us. In our lives, I don't know what fire you are going through right now. Maybe some kind of situation where you are not able to grow strong in the Lord. Maybe some kind of a personal life situation, job, marriage, finances. I don't know what is going on in your life. Whatever fire you are going through in your lives, remember, there is a fourth person. There is a fourth person in your life. And that is, he noticed, Nebuchadnezzar noticed, that they were walking unbound. I really like that. They walked unbound. They were in the fire, but they were walking. Let me tell you, when we go through fiery situations, we need to experience the freedom of Christ in our lives. Paul and Silas, when they were put in the prison in Acts chapter 16, they were bound with chains. They were singing praises unto the Lord. That is what a person who has faith in his God can be able to be. They were, in a sense, walking unbound freely. Lord, I'm worshiping you. Lord, I worship you. You alone can rescue. You alone can save. Maybe they're maybe singing songs, wonderful songs. Why? Because they know that they have a fourth person. The power of the fourth among them. And what did he say here in verse 25? In the midst of the fire, without harm. Without harm. And the appearance of the fourth was like the Son of God. The appearance of the fourth was like the Son of God. In some of the translations it says like the son of gods, because that's what Nebuchadnezzar understands. He always thinks of plurality of gods. But in the King James Version, it uses the word like the Son of God. Let me tell you, in the Old Testament, there were appearances of the third person of Trinity, that is, the second person of Trinity, that is, Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, that is called Christophany. Christophany, that's a theological word that is used. Christophany means the appearance of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. The angel of the Lord, it says in some translation, some of the places. And here we notice that the fourth person in the fire was like the Son of God, the presence of Jesus Christ among them. Though Jesus came in the form of a human being in the New Testament, Jesus Christ existed much before. He has existed from the beginning. So he appeared in the Old Testament as well, but he appeared as a human being in the New Testament. So here we notice the fourth, the power of the fourth was that they were able to experience the presence of God in the fire. They were able to experience the protection of God in the fire. They were able to experience the freedom of God in the fire. And then in verse 26, Nebuchadnezzar came near the door and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High, come here. And you know what it says in verse 26? They came out off the midst of the fire. Let me tell you. You may be thrown into the midst of the fire, but you will be brought out of the midst of the fire as well. Yea, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, the Bible says in Psalm chapter 23. Through the valley, not to the valley, not into the fire, but through the fire. Through the fiery experience, they came out of the fire also now. And you notice in verse 27, wonderful way in which the description was given about them, that there was no power of fire on their bodies. Verse 27. Power, the fire did not have power on their bodies. You know, a little small fire accidents at home, you know how it burns. Sometimes, I don't know if you have experienced, especially if your hair is burnt. Have you smelt it? Oh, might I tell you, I smelt it. It is terrible because of the little fire. Here we notice that their body was not affected by fire. The hair of their head was singed. Not it was singed. Nor were their trousers damaged. Nor the smell of fire even upon them. My dear, I tell you, this is the power of God. The power of the fourth. Not the power of fire, but the power of four. That we have a God who is in the midst of the trials that we go through in our lives. And now, the third and the final thing that we want to notice is finale. Faith, fire, there's always a finale, my dear. There's an end to it. There's always an end to it. And the end is wonderful, I tell you. The way in which Nebuchadnezzar speaks in verse 28. You know what he says? Nebuchadnezzar responded and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants, who put their trust in him, violating the king's commands, and yielded up their bodies so as not to serve or worship any god except their own God." Verse 29, "Therefore I make a decree that any people, nation, or language that speaks against, offensively against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb for limb and their houses reduced to rubbish heap, in as much as," notice this verse 29 towards the end, very important statement, "there is no other God who is able to deliver in this way." There is no other God who is able to deliver in this way. Note it down. The God is honored. The Lord God is honored. Nebuchadnezzar opened his mouth and he honored God. He said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." In the Old Testament, we always see he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Three wonderful patriarchs. Have you ever prayed saying, "God, you are the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego"? Yes, he is the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Isn't it wonderful? He is a God who can do that. There is no other God who is able to deliver in this way. I tell you, that is what the title of this sermon is. God is able to deliver. There is no other God who is able to deliver. And final, that you can notice, the finale is, God is honored, and then we notice God's people are honored as well. That is the result of the ability of God. God is honored and God's people are honored. Notice in verse 30. Please read one of his last verse. He promoted them into the province of Babylon. God is able to deliver. God is able to be honored. God is able to honor his people. "They that honor me, I will honor," the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. God is mentioning this. "Him that honors me, I will honor." They were honoring God in spite of ready to give up their lives. You know what it says here in the bottom? They trusted in God, verse 28. They put their trust in him. Who said that? Nebuchadnezzar said that. And they obeyed God than man, violating the king's command, it says in verse 28. He himself is saying, these people trust in God and they violated my commandment. And then he says, they yielded up their bodies not to serve. They were ready to yield their bodies into fire, my dear. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 says that we need to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. They were ready to yield their bodies for Christ. Are you ready to die for Christ? Are you ready to die for Christ? If it be so, but if not. That is the faith that God is testing tonight, today. And you and I should be able to understand this, my dear, that are we ready? It doesn't mean that it happens at all times because God is sovereign. God is sovereign. He knows what to do, when to do. That doesn't make us question him saying, God, why didn't you deliver me? Why didn't you heal so-and-so? Why didn't you give a job so early? Why didn't you get these people not get married earlier? Many questions that we have. Maybe God is testing our faith right now. God is able to deliver if it be so. But if not, also, I will not leave my God. I'm ready to die for him. Yesterday, the whole Christian world was shaken hearing the death of Brother Nabil Qureshi. Entire Christian world was shaken. Probably you got repeated messages from different WhatsApp groups about him. Not only praying for him, but also the testimony that is given about him by various people, including the organization that he was working for as well, in the Ravi Zacharias International Ministries. I don't know if you were following his video log, but let me tell you, it was so encouraging to be able to see such a man of God going through troubled situation, yet he was able to express what God is doing in his life. Many are encouraged, including myself, through this young man who gave his life for Christ. He went through troubled times in his life. I'd like us to listen to maybe it's his last prayer, the vlog 42, if you've been following the video logs. This was on September 8th. That he always requested people to pray for him. And along with his prayer, this was the prayer that he prayed. And let's see. Let us listen to this very carefully, my dear, to the prayer that he's prayed.
Again, I'd really appreciate your prayers. Let's go ahead and pray together now. Father, we come before you, trusting you even now for a miracle. We know that John 11 uses those exact words. Even now, you can do a miracle. And we saw him raise Lazarus from the dead. We see the Lord in Genesis 22 rescue Isaac at the very last second. We see the dead girl raised from the dead. Luke 7, we see a boy raised from the dead. So God is able. God is more than able. And I'm just going to rest in that as best I can. Lord, we know you are able. Please heal. Please come through. But if it shouldn't be your will, your sovereign will at the end of the day, then I trust you. And I love you anyway. We praise you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, I'd really appreciate your prayers. Let's go ahead and pray together now.
Repetition.
Father, we come before you, trusting you even now for a miracle. We know that John 11 uses those exact words. Even now, you can do a miracle. And we saw him raise Lazarus from the dead. We see the Lord in Genesis 22 rescue Isaac at the very last second. We see the dead girl raised from the dead. Luke 7, we see a boy raised from the dead. So God is able. God is more than able. And I'm just going to rest in that as best I can. Lord, we know you are able. Please heal. Please come through. But if it shouldn't be your will, your sovereign will at the end of the day, then I trust you. And I love you anyway. We praise you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. That is the faith of a man of God. With our eyes closed,